Good morning. And I'm not going to take another second because I have 20 minutes. Well, actually, I have 17, no. So, good morning. Appreciate the opportunity. I've taken a four-hour presentation, shrunk it down to 50 minutes, and now shrunk it down to 20 minutes. So realize that I probably have more information packed into this, but hopefully you can take some of this back at your leisure and consider some of the things you've heard this morning. It's exciting to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. So we'll start with a punchline. We tend to all always start jokes this way, but we have the problem that we have across all of healthcare is, of course, increased accountability. And of course, the solution is measurement. And we're going to talk this morning, all of us, about this idea of measurement and what it really means to the industry as a whole. And of course, benchmarking, data analytics are all topics that are top of mind. And we certainly have been dealing with these topics for a number of years. And I have to say, in healthcare, very poorly in general, I think we've been dealing with these topics. There's certainly tremendous opportunity in our industry, in public health, in all aspects of health and human services to really improve the lives of consumers. So here's some realities. Here are the things I think that are driving some of the changes that are going on. We know that healthcare reform, we certainly saw the ACA approved a few years ago by Congress and signed by the president, but that was not really the beginning of healthcare reform. I believe healthcare reform has been going on in our country probably for 20 years, maybe even longer. But certainly we're now seeing a sprint, if you will, to this change and needing better data to be able to navigate and manage it. So, you know, and I think the other thing is that accountable care, which is really what this is about, does apply to you. And I think a lot of times in public sector entities, which some of us are exposed to or actually work in, believe that we're kind of immune or shielded from this. But this change is actually impacting every aspect of healthcare. So it does impact you. These changes are not going away. I can't tell you, still speaking and meeting with people, leaders in businesses and organizations throughout the country, how many people still believe that there's aspects of accountable care and value-based payments and all of the other aspects that are underpinning this change are going away. They're not. I promise you, they're not going away. And I think there's lots of proof to that. And accountable care will require shifts within your organization. And I would dare say probably within you individually. Each one of us are not naturally kind of hardwired to embrace and love change. But if I could implore you to do anything, is to somehow convince your brain that that's a good thing, because that's in fact what we're going to be living in for the foreseeable future, certainly. I think between now and the end of this decade, you will see a dizzy change that really will provide tremendous opportunity, I think, for some organizations. And sadly, I think there will be a lot of organizations that will not do so well in this shift. So yeah, I think one of the things that I've experienced, again, is that a lot of people believe that healthcare reform and accountable care is somewhat been figured out by especially the private sector, and I'll kind of isolate in on kind of hospital administration. I think a lot of us are believe that they've got it all figured out. They really have a plan, and it's probably pretty evil. Hopefully there aren't any hospital administrators I've just offended. But nevertheless, there's a sense of that. So I've actually acquired something that's top secret. It was actually an interview that took place, and I don't think the participants knew perhaps it was being interviewed, but I want to share it with you this morning in hopes that you don't run out of here and just tell everybody. But you know, let me move the mic because this is not wired up, so.
Welcome to the help desk. How may I help you?
Hello. I'm a healthcare executive.
I am so sorry to hear that. How may I help you?
I am looking for information about how my health system can succeed under healthcare reform.
Okay. The healthcare reform legislation is 1,000 pages long. What part concerns you the most?
I have not actually read the legislation. Can you tell me what it says?
You are a healthcare executive. You are concerned about how your health system can succeed under healthcare reform, and yet you have not taken the time to read the legislation?
I have been busy. But I did read in Modern Healthcare that it is a good idea for me to start an accountable care organization. Maybe you can tell me how I can do that.
Okay, what do you know about accountable care organizations?
I think if my healthcare system establishes an accountable care organization, then we will succeed under healthcare reform.
You are pretty clueless, aren't you?
I have been very busy. What do I need to do to establish an accountable care organization and be highly successful under healthcare reform?
What distinct competencies does your system have to effectively manage population health? For example, do you have a robust care management system? What about chronic disease management? Have you had experience with health coaches? And is your information system fully integrated with your physicians? Do you know whether your acute care case management function is integrated with your home care service?
This sounds way harder than I expected. Can I just form an accountable care corporation, appoint a board of trustees, and have monthly meetings? Modern healthcare said I should have an accountable care organization to be successful under healthcare reform.
Is your objective to just have something you can call an accountable care organization, or do you want to actually manage health?
Health management seems really, really hard. Modern healthcare said I will need an accountable care organization to be successful. I think I will start one, and then maybe we can figure out this health management stuff after a few meetings. My board will be happy if they can see I have an accountable care organization and we are having lots of meetings.
Have you been in healthcare administration long?
About 20 years. I'm a fellow in the American College of Healthcare Executives.
And you have been successful by just forming corporations and having meetings?
Pretty much.
I guess that helps explain how we got into this healthcare mess in the first place.
So, needless to say, none of you want to be like this individual. But the fact is that nobody does have it figured out. And I think it's naive for us to think that certainly hospitals are going to take over the world, because there is a lot of that mindset. I mean, this is kind of obviously a parody of some of the absurdity in the private sector, but there is a level of arrogance, I think, that goes on. But, you know, measurement in terms of what we're going to talk about this morning, there's so many aspects, of course, of what you just saw that you would want to try to prevent in your organization. But measurement isn't new. You know, as an industry, I think that we are probably the world champions at collecting data. We have amassed data in giant repository and electronic health records and practice management systems for a huge number of years. But getting data out of that black hole, it can be very, 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 very hard. And I think it's expensive, it's time consuming, and it's one that requires some specialized expertise. So in most organizations, data acquisition happens this way. Somebody comes up with an idea, somebody needs to know some information, you know, maybe somebody's writing a grant and wants to gather some information. So they, you know, they need a report. So what do? They pick up the phone, or they walk down and they call the IT help desk. Or they may call you, or anyway, the person who does report writing in your organization. Then, depending on the complexity of the request, you know, it might take a day, it might take 2 days, it might take 2 months. But then eventually it makes it back to that individual, and you know, they may want to know something like, I want to see everybody who's had a certain diagnosis in a certain program. And you know, that may be pretty easy, straightforward, and by the time it makes back to them, then they say, wow, I need to now know what locations they were at. So that what happens? We spend more money, we spend more time, and it goes around this circle. And again, by the time it ends up kind of going through full cycle, maybe several times around this circle, the information is either not needed anymore, maybe I've already submitted the grant, or whatever the case may be. We spend so much money as an industry on this model, and sadly, most organizations operate exactly this way, and the paradigm has to shift. I think the good news for the industry is that the tool sets now that have been developed and being engineered, and we see some of the tool sets now that really allow end users to now access data like never before. So if you were, you know, just going to look for everyone in your database that had the diagnosis of schizophrenia, this would be a SQL query, right? So those of you who are IT kind of focused, and you think to yourself, that's pretty straightforward, it won't take me that long. But look what happens if you add medication, okay? And then if you add location, what happens? I mean, it starts to get pretty unruly, more time spent testing, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you should be able to pull three parameters, schizophrenia, medication, and location out of a database, in a few seconds, and it should require specialized IT knowledge. And again, that's the point here, is that I think we finally, as an industry, have matured to the point where the tool sets are now available. That's the good news. Learning how to use them, learning how to think analytically, I think is one of those chasms as an industry that we're still working on figuring out how we're going to cross. And I think we, as we attach value in all of healthcare, we think about it in terms of outcomes over cost. Obviously, we want to improve outcomes. We want to reduce costs, and that's really the kind of driver. That's the reason why we buy everything. I mean, if you think about something you purchased recently, you associated value, and you went out and spent money on it. That's exactly what's going on in healthcare. We're finally at that point, and that's actually what the value-based payment model is really being based upon. So if you think about companies that have gotten really good at analytics over the years, here's some logos of companies that I think most of us would recognize and say, you know, these are companies that have done some great things with analytics. And most of them, of course, are in the retail space, maybe with exceptions of the Oakland A's and the Red Sox. Those of you who have seen the movie Moneyball probably can recognize what they did with analytics. But nevertheless, these are organizations that we believe, I think, that have that. So, but if you think about, you know, kind of the, I think the one that's easier most people get because they've been on that site is Amazon. Amazon has gotten really good over the years. I mean, I'm an avid reader, so, you know, I buy books continuously. So, you know, what happens is when I go to buy books, you know, Amazon will then recommend books based upon what I've browsed, what I purchased, et cetera. And a lot of people think, you know, that's really intrusive on my privacy, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're starting to kind of not be as focused on that. It's starting to be part and parcel. We almost expect that. And I can tell you just in the Amazon analytics, the fact is that it gives me back suggestions, honestly, that I purchased, and they were really good suggestions. So the improvement of analytics, predictive analytics in this case, is really profoundly great. And I think that's where the opportunity lies for healthcare. If you translate this, this is exactly what we need to be working on as an industry, and we finally, again, have the tools where we're starting to build some of these algorithms that really the industry needs. We want to deliver the right information to the right individual just exactly when they need it. And again, you think about that as a pipe dream, but if you also think back 25, 30 years ago, the idea of an Amazon.com being such a large retailer and also having the analytics that they use in terms of driving decision making for consumers, et cetera. And, you know, of course, there's always the other side of it, is that can you be, you know, I think people will look at some social media sites, not mentioning any specifically, but, you know, thinking about doing things very evil. But nevertheless, it's a double-edged sword that I think that we'll have to somehow get our arms around. So the ROI for big data, if you look at other industries, the telco industry saw a 92% decrease in processing time. You saw utilities, 99% improvement in the accuracy of placing power generation resources. But in healthcare, this is the big one. So you saw 20% decrease in patient mortality by analyzing streaming patient data. And again, we don't have the time this morning to kind of go into that as a case study, but nevertheless, we're looking at quantum leaps in healthcare in terms of opportunities. And again, delivering clinical information, financial information, and operational information to the individual exactly when they need it, not, you know, after the fact and not always retrospectively. So the question that I think that one of our clients asked was, can we predict what treatments are likely to be most effective in an individual based solely on the data available at intake? So it's pretty, you think about that, there's not a whole lot of information at intake. So they actually used just the information collected at intake, and it accurately predicts treatment response for more than 70% of clients. And you think to yourself, that's pretty astronomical. By the way, this was a manual system that they implemented that analyzed this data. So that's, again, a pretty big leap in terms of just, again, thinking about how you can analytically use data to your advantage. But what they did was they started to tweak it. They started to say, you know, they looked at kind of the responses and they tried to add in other elements, so they actually increased it all the way up to 90%. These are the kind of opportunities, I think, that are available to organizations like yours as you look at opportunities in using data and data analytics. So change is coming and it's inevitable. I think, you know, the big thing here is to realize is that this is not something you want to wait on. It's not something you want to sit back on. If your organization is not already even changing culturally to accept analytics and benchmarking looking at data and leveraging data, you're going to be really left behind as the industry moves very, very rapidly to this change. And again, I think the issue here is knowledge without data is just opinion. And I think we've lived in that opinion world for a very, very long time, and we've been very unsuccessful with it. So the fact is that we now have to actually use data and leverage data and turn data into knowledge. And I think knowledge, eventually, if we analyze the opportunities that we look at in knowledge, we can also turn that into wisdom. So if you look at what's driving this, and again, running out of time, which I hate, but nevertheless, if you look at what's driving this, and I'm hopefully setting up my colleagues here in terms of what they're going to talk about, but it's healthcare costs. You know, if you looked at the same trends in other industries, if those prices increase at the same rate that healthcare costs have increased, a dozen eggs would be $55, a gallon of milk would be $48 a gallon, and a dozen oranges would be $134 a dozen. I don't know about you all, but I'm not sure I would be consuming any of these foods if in fact that were the price tag. Some of you would say, I don't want them anyway. But nevertheless, you can see the absurdity of what that looks like. So if you look at, you know, the journey to utilization and value, which is, again, the one I think we've been on for a very long time, you know, we've looked at the past. It really is about, you know, looking at digitization, you know, moving, you know, paper forms in electronic health records, or from paper to electronic health records. And I think we're in a semi-automated data and mobilization environment today, and we're moving into that predictive and real-time analytics. And again, I think this has happened very, very rapidly now. We're not looking at a slow rate. I believe that we're in an era, really, that really we'll see more change that will happen in the next 10 years than we probably have seen in the last 100 years. And there's lots of futurists and a lot of the research has been done to kind of prove that out. So you think about the level of improvement that we could actually experience in healthcare, it's very, very significant. And again, that's financial performance and clinical performance and ultimately serving our consumers better. But the shifts are moving from the needs of the patient to the needs of a population. Support of the individual practitioner at point of care, which has been how we've hardwired the systems to all providers across all spectrums of care. The treatment of and focus on chronic disease to a movement of management of that those disease states. And of course, moving from islands of automation to integrated information and integrated care management and looking at a person holistically in a system of care. But I think the big one here is that it's moving to all providers across the spectrum of care. That's that care management model where you don't have the silos of information, I think, that are really, really... And we're entering an era of disruptive innovation now. I think we have to embrace this kind of change and really see that the opportunities exist, you know, the underpinnings of disruption, of really looking at the scientific advancements and then looking at the fact that technology really should be looked at in terms of being very platform agnostic, not caring what vendor you're using for what applications or looking for a vendor that's going to do it all for you or developing it yourself, but really looking at it agnostically about what does my organization need to really be able to manage through this change. So I think it's going to require different leadership skills. It will require different client and patient satisfaction, something our industry is really poor at, frankly. Require collaboration and partnering. So, and again, I think, you know, it was best said the executive of the future will be rated on his ability or her ability to anticipate his problems rather than to meet them as they come. And I think this idea that we can just react to change really is one that I think that will cause us to fail and really cause a protraction of time. So if you track outcomes, why would you track outcomes? Of course, we all have current payer requirements and accreditation and research, you know, but accountable care is really the big one that's driving it now. And again, it's about this equation of value being, outcomes over cost. But I think, again, when we think as an industry of outcomes, we're all hardwired to think, which outcome instrument are you talking about? Well, it's really the right outcomes. And again, part of this is understanding as an industry, what are the right outcomes that we're looking for? I mean, are they really even embedded, depending on the situation, in an instrument? Or are they really about health and wellness? So again, you know, thinking about this topic, I'm going to actually stop here because I think I want to make sure that of course, my colleague speakers also have time in being respectful here. But again, this topic is one that I would encourage you to embrace in a very significant way as you're at this conference. The other thing I would encourage you to do is you look around the room and those of you that have experienced some level of analytics and benchmarking within your organizations. Talk to one another, learn from each other, because I think that's really where the opportunities exist. If you just look at benchmarking alone, if let's say, for example, I had a body temperature of 100, I would think to myself, oh, 100's perfect, right? Well, unless I had the context of what a normal body temperature is, it really doesn't matter. And that's really what benchmarking does. So share information. You know, if you have issues around, you know, appointment kept rates or whatever the case may be, find somebody that's really done that well. So in other words, I think our techniques in terms of finding organizations that are kind of, that have already walked down the path that you have, and then being able to leverage some of that learning is a significant opportunity not to be missed at a conference like this. So again, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you this morning.